Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, today I want to talk to you again about being anchored. Man, on a day like today with the wind blowing and the rain going, we need to be anchored. But this is something I truly believe that God has put on my heart for us to be anchored, so we don't allow ourselves spiritually to drift away from the Lord. And what I want to talk to you today about being anchored in, I would say is probably the most vital out of everything, really. It's about being anchored in eternity. Anchored in eternity. Eternity. When people talk about eternity, there's a lot of questions. In fact, eternity is really one of life's big questions. The question would be, is there life after this life? Is there life after this life? And the only way we can answer questions about eternity is we have to look to our eternal God through His eternal word to see what He says about eternity. Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to be going different places, but this is a good one for you to mark right here. In your Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. One of life's big questions is about eternity. Is there life after this life? And in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, referring to God, this is what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of humans, or some translations would read, in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Let me read it one more time. God, our eternal God, has made everything beautiful in its time. But He's also set, that word can mean in some translations, it means planted. He's planted eternity in the hearts of men, of humanity. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The very beginning of that scripture says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Right now, we live in time. We live in time. Believe me, every Sunday I realize that we live in time. When I look at that clock up there, we live in time. We live by time. And in time, we start to see things slowly to break down. Have you looked in the mirror lately? You'll notice that in time, things start to slowly break down. I thought about this. Have you ever went back and looked at your high school yearbook then to where you are now? You can tell some things have slowly started to break down. And if you look better now than you did then, you're paying for it. Just throwing it out there for you. I'm not paying for nothing. Can you tell? We see things in time begin to break down. We look in the mirror, we see our face break down, our hair begins to break down, our body. We feel the breakdown in our knees, in our back, in our eyes. In time, we start to slow down. We start to get achy in life. We start to, I heard somebody say this recently. They said, you know that when you're getting old, you start to groan and moan when you get up. But when you're really getting old, you groan and moan when you get up, and you groan and moan when you get down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But even as we see things slowly break down in life, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that even though outwardly we begin to break down, there's something that God has put on the inside of every heart of every human, and it's called eternity or satisfaction through the things of this earth, the things of this world. But the truth is, this world will never satisfy you, but Jesus promised that in heaven you will be completely satisfied. I know there's some things here on earth that bring satisfaction to you, but none of that compares to what's going to satisfy you in heaven. And you're going to be satisfied in heaven for a lot of different reasons. One, because heaven is a perfect place. Revelation 21:4 says, think about this, that God, listen, your creator, God himself, the Bible says in Revelation 21:4, he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, or talking about sorrow, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I have some good news for you this morning. Heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place because it will radiate the glory and the power and the majesty of God. Heaven is a perfect place because God gives light. There's going to be no need for the sun. There's not going to be no need for the moon because Jesus is going to light up this perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place because no darkness will ever enter in. No wickedness will never enter in. No sin will never enter in. No evil will ever enter in. It'll be a perfect place lit up by the glory of God. And heaven, heaven is a perfect place, but the world that we live in right now, the world we live in right now is not perfect. It's imperfect, and it's a painful place. In fact, the world that we live in right now has pain, has tears. We experience brokenness in our life, depression in our life. We experience anxiety, and we experience tragedy and death. This world is imperfect and a painful place, but heaven is a perfect, peaceful place. And all the imperfections that we experience now, all the pain that we experience now, one day in heaven, there'll be no more of that. There'll be no more of all that in heaven. Because in that scripture I read, it says there'll be no more crying. God is going to, the tears that you have shed, those tears that have come out of your eyes, the Bible says God is going to wipe away your tears. Hallelujah. No more death, no more tragedies, no more like what we experienced with the airplane and the helicopter coming into Washington, D.C. and people tragically dying. And there's no more tragedy. There's no more suicides. There's no more murders. There's no more dying children and dying spouses and dying parents. There'll be no more funerals. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There'll be no more pain, no more brokenness, no more disappointments. Think about what I'm saying to you. No more brokenness, no more disappointments, no more depression, no more disease, no more accidents, no more abuse. All the pain will be no more in heaven because heaven is a perfect place. I want you to receive that today. Think about that. It's a perfect place. That's why Paul could say this in Romans 8:18. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, Paul, if you remember Paul, he was actually caught up into heaven. He got a glimpse of heaven. No eyes seen, no ears heard what God has prepared for those that love him. He got a taste of it, a glimpse of it. Heaven is a perfect place because there'll be no more brokenness and tears and pain there. Heaven is also a perfect place because we'll have perfect bodies. I want you to know this because there's a lot of teaching contrary to this. We will have bodies in heaven. We will not be vapors that are floating around. Grandma, was that you? No. We are going to have, but there's going to be bodies in heaven. You're going to have a body in heaven. But it's not going to be like the physical body that we have now. The Bible says that we're going to have this resurrected body. It's a glorified body. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul told us, he says, there's going to come a day when you're going to exchange this body you have, the perishable for the imperishable. You're going to clothe yourself from the mortal to immortal. We are going to have a resurrected body. When you go to heaven, you're not going to be just this vapor, this mist that's floating around up there. You are going to have a body. A perfect body. It's going to be a resurrected body that is suited for heaven. Can I explain all that? I can't explain all of it. I mean, I'm just amazed by it, but I can't explain it all. But I just know what God's word says here, and we know that we're going to have a body. When I get to heaven, I'm still going to be Jeff Dale. When you get to heaven, you're still going to be you. But in heaven, we're going to have a perfect body. We're going to have a perfect body. Brother, we're going to have hair when we get to heaven. I believe it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You're going to be completely satisfied because it's a perfect place. You're going to be completely satisfied because heaven is a personal place. It's a personal place. Revelation 21:3 says this right here. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Heaven is going to be completely satisfying because it is God's dwelling place. Heaven's going to be personal because God is going to be there. He's going to dwell with us, and we're going to be his people forever and ever and ever. Amen. And the greatest blessing of heaven is that we're going to personally see and be with Jesus face to face, just like the song we were just singing. Praise God for that. Praise God that we're going to see Jesus, the one, the Son of God, our Savior, the one who died on the cross. We're going to see him. We're going to be with him. We're going to see him, and we're going to live and worship him forever and forever and forever. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that. Hallelujah. The greatest blessing about heaven is that we're going to personally be with Jesus, see Jesus, be with Jesus, and it's going to be forever. It's just not going to be a little glimpse. We're going to be with him forever. And heaven is a personal place because the Bible tells us that we're going to be, the reason it's going to be personal is because we're going to be reunited with family and friends that are in heaven. Those that have brothers and sisters that have died in Christ, we are going to be reunited with them in heaven. That's what's going to make heaven perfect. We're going to see and be with Jesus, and then we're going to see and be with our family and our friends that are already there. We're going to be there with Paul and Silas and Peter and Moses and all. We're going to be all together there in heaven. In fact, I keep thinking about that verse that keeps coming to my mind. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have surrounded us that are cheering us on to our heavenly home. Just a couple of weeks ago, Heath Whitfield, I thought I saw Heath over here earlier. Heath sent me a picture that really just grabbed my heart when I saw it. It's a baseball picture. Can you put it up there for me? To me, that's what a glimpse of heaven looks like right there. Because you know what that represents to me? How we're running the race that we're in right now. We run the bases of this life. Sometimes we trip, sometimes we fall, sometimes we strike out, but we're still running around the bases, and our goal is to get home, and on our way home, all dirty, all hit up, all burnt up and broke up and painful, on our way home, there's a great cloud of witnesses at the other end that are cheering us on to come on, come on, come on. They're cheering us on, and I believe just like that guy right there, he recognizes those fellas around that plate. When we turn the curve and we head home and go into our heavenly place, we're going to see a great cloud of witnesses, and we're going to know them. We're going to recognize them. They're going to be cheering for us, and we're going to cross on over to be with the Lord and his people forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven is a personal place because we will recognize and know each other in heaven. David even assured himself that He had a child. King David had a child that died. He says, I'm going to see my baby son again. Peter, when he saw Moses and Elijah on the Mountain of Transfiguration, I mean, he recognized them. Think about the disciples when they saw Jesus in his resurrected body. They recognized him. Friend, if they recognize Jesus in his resurrected body, we are going to recognize each other in our resurrected bodies. Heaven, please hear me, is a personal place that we're going to go to, that we're going to recognize our loved ones. And if you have a loved one that's living in heaven right now, I want to encourage you to keep running the bases. Keep running the bases. Keep running. I know it's tough. I know you fall down. I know you have to slide. I know there's some wounds and some scars. But just keep running the race. Keep running around the bases and head home, because you're going to see them again and you're going to be with them again. And listen, you're going to be with them forever. The truth is, you're going to spend more time with them in eternity than you ever did here on this earth. To God be the glory. I think about that. You're going to spend more time with them in eternity than you've had with them here on this earth. And so that inspires me and encourages me to keep running, to keep running the bases, because there's a great cloud of witnesses that are waiting for us. Now, I'm excited about heaven, and I'm excited to tell you about heaven, but I'm not very excited to tell you about a place called hell. But as God's messenger, I have to preach the full counsel of God's word. So if we're going to anchor ourselves in eternity, we need to look at and take a glimpse of hell. Did you know that Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven? The Bible says hell is a place of eternal separation and torment, which awaits those who have refused to repent and turn from sin, who continue to reject God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ while they're here on this earth. Now, there's a lot of people that don't like to hear about hell. I don't like preaching about hell, to be honest with you. There's a lot of people that don't believe in hell. You may not believe in hell. You may not like hell being talked about. But that don't change the truth that hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. In fact, Jesus actually warned us about the reality of hell. Listen to what Jesus said, talking about the reality of hell being a real place. He said this in Mark 9, 43, 45. This is some symbolic language here. I'll explain to you in a minute. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. This is Jesus talking, because it's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. What Jesus is saying here, Jesus is saying that hell is a real place, and anything is better than going to hell. Anything is better than going to hell. I want you to know that Jesus preached and told us that hell is a populated place. It's a populated place. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14, he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Say choose. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I want to just say to you and clarify a few things, because you need to be anchored in eternity. You need to know right now, friend, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You make a choice. You make the choice. It says many will choose that way. Many will choose that way. If you hear somebody say, how can God send somebody? How can a loving God send somebody to hell? God doesn't send them to hell. They choose that. They choose that way. who will be the many? Who will be the many to choose hell? Well, if we look at the scriptures, we know, because in the scriptures it tells us who the many are: the unsaved, the unrepentant, the ungodly, the unbeliever, the neglectors, the rejectors, the mockers, the compromisers, those who willfully refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me tell you who the Bible says those many are. Bad people will choose hell. Bad people will choose hell. Good people will choose hell. Good people will choose hell because they were trusting in their own goodness and their own self-righteousness, thinking that was going to be good enough to get them to heaven. Religious people will choose hell. People who have this form of religion in their life but deny the power of God. In other words, religious people who say, well, I was in church and I went to church and I greeted people at the door. I shook the pastor's hand. We were friends. Religious people will choose hell. It reminds me of what Jesus said, referring to a message about hell, when he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And if you read just a few verses ahead, he talks about them being cast into the lake of fire. Religious people will choose hell. Procrastinators will choose hell. People who have heard the gospel and time after time and they keep putting it off. Maybe they say, well, life is too busy for me right now. I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own life. I'll have time later to get right with God. Do you know the number one lie the devil will tell a procrastinator? You can get saved tomorrow. You can get saved tomorrow. How many of you know the Bible teaches us that there is no promise for tomorrow? There is no promise for tomorrow. Hell is populated with many whose names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 20:15, it says this right here: if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Please hear me. Please hear my heart, because I think about how heartbreaking it is right now to think of the many people who will choose hell for eternity by rejecting Jesus. The many people who will think they were good enough or religious enough, or the many people who will just say, I'm going to put it off and I'll do it later on. The many people, how heartbreaking it is to think that some of them will choose hell because they rejected Jesus. Hell is also a punishing place. In Matthew 8:12, Jesus said that the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And hell is a punishing place. And I want to just tell you, no matter how hard that wind blows outside, and no matter how hard it rains, and no matter how bad things get here on this earth, none of that compares to how bad hell is going to be. None of that compares to how bad hell is going to be. Hell is going to be punishing because it's a total separation of God's presence. Think about what I'm saying to you. Hell is going to be punishing because there'll be no presence of God. Hell is punishing because of the unquenchable fire. Hell is going to be punishing because of the never-ending torment and anguish. Hell is going to be punishing because of the total darkness. It's not like the darkness in a room where you cut out the lights. This is a wicked, evil darkness that will be there throughout eternity. Hell is punishing because of the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. hell is punishing because the Bible says it's a place where the worm never dies. Now, whether you agree with this or not, that's up to you. But a lot of the Bible scholars and commentators that you read behind, when Jesus says a place where the worm never dies, most of them believe that he's referring to an individual's memory. That worm represents your memory. So in hell, you will be punished with tormenting memories that will play over and over and over that will never stop. Just imagine that. Waking up in hell and you're lost, you're alone, total separation from God, his love, his grace, his mercy, total darkness, tormented by an unquenchable fire that we can't even explain what that's going to be. And you'll be tormented because you'll know you're in hell. You're going to know that you're in hell. Amen. Just like the rich man did in Luke 16. He knew he was in hell. And you're going to be tormented because there's going to be no hope. There's going to be no relief. There's going to be no mercy. There's going to be no escape. And then with all that going on, the Bible says there's this worm that's going to come that's never going to die. And I truly believe that it's going to be an instant replay that's going to punish you and torment you. And you'll remember that you were in church on this Sunday right now. That memory of you being in church and the pastor talking about heaven and talking about hell, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember the times that the gospel was preached to you. You're going to remember the times that somebody was witnessing to you to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus. You're going to play back those memories when the Holy Spirit was convicting you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You're going to remember those things, and they're going to play over. You're going to relive it time and time again. Every opportunity you had to follow Jesus, you're going to relive it, because the worm in hell will never die. And you're going to be punished with remembering and reliving those opportunities. And listen to me, please hear me. There's going to be nothing you can do about it. You can't erase it. You can't make it go away, because the worm never dies. And there'll be nothing you can do about it, because it'll be too late. You know why it's too late? Because hell is a permanent place. It's a permanent place. Permanent because there will not be any more chances to get right with God. Would you please pay attention to me? Once you die, it is over. Once you die, once you're on the other side of that dash, your destination is permanent. I'm telling you that because there's teaching out there that you go off into some place called purgatory and there may be another opportunity for you to get right. The Bible doesn't teach that. Once you die, once you're on the other side of the dash, you are going to be in your permanent destination, because hell is permanent. Once you die, it's over. It's going to be too late. And the reason why is because hell is final. Hell is fixed. There's no way out. There's no escape. There's no exit. There's no release. And when you die, it's going to be too late. Pastor Kevin, if you want to come, brother. Heaven and hell are forever. I want to say this to you again. One of life's big questions: is there life after this life? Yes. The length of your life is forever. Once you cross over the dash, you're going to be in eternity, where you will live forever. You're either going to live in heaven or you're going to be tormented in a place called hell. Lord, please help me. Please help me. I would think that we need to really consider our dash right now, and that we would realize that our life is a never-ending story. And I just want to say to you right now, eternity is too long for you to be wrong. Some of you, well, I don't know. I see it quite like you see it, Pastor. Well, I'm just telling you from the Word of God. Listen, we can debate some things all you want to. We can talk about some things all you want to. All I know is eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity is too long for you to try to be good enough. Eternity is too long for you to try to say, you know what, I'll have some time. I'll get right later on. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Do you know? I'm not asking, do you know about your husband or your wife or your children or grandma or grandpa? I'm asking, do you know where you will spend eternity? Do you know, sir, ma'am, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? I sure hope it's heaven. Boy, I pray. Do you realize the burden to stand up here in this pulpit, to pastor this church, and to think that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, whatever, and preaching the gospel and preaching the word, and to know that there would be people here that missed heaven? Why? They made the choice. And friend, my heart for you today is that you would make the choice to go to heaven. How do you go to heaven? You repent of your sins. That means you turn from sin and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. The Bible says, listen to this. Don't just breeze through this. We hear it all the time, but listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish. Perish is hell. You shall not perish, but you will have eternal life. That's heaven. Aren't you thankful for the gospel? Praise God. Jesus, he died on the cross for you and for me. There's a lot of big words that you can use to explain all that, but in simple terms, Jesus was our substitute. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he is. And he went to that cross in love. God demonstrated his love to us that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And he gave his life on the cross, and he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and on the third day, God raised him back to life. And he is alive. He is our living Lord, living Savior. And because he lives, we can live forever too. Friend, listen to me. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. You have to make the choice. Many will choose the broad way, which is the highway to hell. And few will choose the narrow way. I want to be part of the few that choose the way to eternal life through Christ. You do that by repenting of your sins and by receiving Jesus Christ by faith. He died in your place. You can just ask Jesus Christ to come into your life right now. Would you do me a favor? Bow your head. Nobody looking around. This is about your soul. This is about your eternity. Please, no moving around. Friend, please hear me. I plead with you with all the love that Christ can put in me right now. Please make the choice to repent of your sin and ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. By faith, receive him. The Bible says, for those that receive him become sons and daughters of God. receive him. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. I'm receiving him into my life. He's now Savior. He's now Lord. And I know my sins are forgiven because by faith of I'm trusting in what he did for me on Calvary. By faith I'm trusting that he conquered the grave. He conquered death. And because of that, I have eternal life. And I'm making the choice today to secure my place, to receive my ticket to heaven through Jesus Christ. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. If you want me to pray for you, you want to pray right now to repent and receive Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to make sure, to have the assurance that you're going to be in heaven, a promised place, a perfect place, a personal place. Would you do me a favor and just lift your hand right there where you are? Please hold it high. Hold it high. Hold it high. God bless. Keep it up. Please keep it up. Please keep it. God bless you. 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 God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I celebrate and rejoice right now. Come on, friend, if that's you, just pray and celebrate with me. Those that are praying, would you pray with me? Any of those that lifted your hand, maybe you didn't, just pray a simple prayer. I mean, really, it's just about committing your life to Christ. And by faith, I admit to you, I'm a sinner. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I thank God that the gift of life comes through Jesus Christ. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. So today, I believe and confess Jesus as Lord of my life, my Savior. And I will follow him. I will follow him. I know that my sins are forgiven. And I'm putting my faith in you now, Jesus, to cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, make me new. I'm born again. I am born again. I am on my way to heaven. I am on my way to heaven. There's some bases that I'm running right now, and I have fallen, and I have got dirty, and I have got hurt along the way, but I'm rounding the bases, and I'm headed home. I'm headed home. And there's a great cloud of witnesses that I'm going to know and recognize that are cheering me on, and I'm going to be reunited with. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every decision. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's anybody here that's thinking that they're good enough, God, you'll wake them up. God, if they're procrastinating, God, that you would show them, Lord, that every day is a gift from you, God, and there's no promise for tomorrow. God, we celebrate right now, God, for every life that has made a commitment to you today, every soul that has made a commitment to you, we rejoice and give you praise. We give you praise in Jesus' name. I want you to look up at me just for a minute here. How many of you have somebody in your family really close and dear to you, or maybe a close friend, and you know right now if they were to go on the other side of their dash, they're not saved, that they would be in a place called hell? Would you raise your hand because they're lost right now? I raise my hand too. You know, I'll never forget this story, and I'm about to close here. I'll never forget this story. And it was Pastor Adrian Rogers told this story. He said on a Monday morning, he got a call from a lady in his church, and she was weeping uncontrollably. Pastor, 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 my daddy has died and he's gone to hell. He's gone to hell. And he said, just calm down, calm down. Your daddy's not in hell. Your daddy's not in hell. Because on Friday, I went by there and I told him about the gospel, and he wanted to pray to receive Christ into his life, and he grabbed a hold of my hand. And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So your daddy is in heaven. Your daddy is in heaven. Praise God. Your daddy's in heaven. But then he said this. But I turned around and I asked the lady on the phone, I said, but if it had depended on you, he would be in hell. If it had depended on you, he would have been in hell. That convicted me. If it depended on me, how many of my family and friends would be in hell right now? If it depended on you, if it depended on you, how many of your family and friends would end up in hell? Would you stand with me, please? I want you to join with me. And I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to pray that God would put a burden in us. God would put a love in us. And let's pray for those lost family members, and let's pray for those lost friends. And I ask you again, what if it depended on you? What if it depends on me? It does. It does. Would you do me a favor right now? And just begin to pray this prayer with me. Make it a me prayer. Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of the many opportunities to preach the gospel, to win, to witness. Lord, to share your love, to share the gospel. Lord, I pray right now, forgive me. God, forgive every one of us. Lord, there's been many times you have depended on us to say something, to witness, to share something, and we didn't do it, Lord. God, please give us another opportunity. Give us another chance, God. Lord, we lift up our family to you right now that are lost and unsaved. We lift up to you, God, our friends that are lost and unsaved, God. We pray for the people in our community right now, God, that are lost and unsaved. I pray for people in this service right now who still continually refuse to give their life to you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, show mercy to them. Show mercy to them, God. And Lord, we ask you, God, just to move us. Move us. Open our mouths. Open our hearts, God. Help us to go to those people, Lord, and to share the gospel, share the good news. And remind them that they're going to live forever. They're going to live forever, and it's their choice. You're going to live in heaven or you're going to live in hell. Which choice will you make? God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Would you join right now, and let's just begin to declare.